bunch of people, fun, hilarious, good to hang out with. Then there's YWAM Bethlehem DTSs in the room. There's a couple of YWAM Bethlehem DTSs. One of them just came back from outreach to be at this conference. So there's a team that was in Nepal. Where's our Nepal team? So they were trekking in the Himalayas and doing cool stuff. Then there was a team in Fiji, partnering with Marine Reach in Fiji and Latoka, and then went into Savu Savu and just saw really cool things. So that's cool to have them back. And you want to hear some fun stories, ask them what they saw and what God did. And I think in Nepal, you guys got to 7 villages, handed out hundreds of Bibles, 5 villages, showed the Jesus film every night. And these are not unreached people groups. These are unreached villages right up in the Himalayas. I heard 50K, 40K in 2 days you hiked or something. Everyone, it was just really cool stories. Anyway, and then there's our family from across the land. We've got Queenstown in the room. Where's our Queenstown family? Come on, Queenstown. We love our Queenstown family. Exploding. These 3 guys here, Andy and his wife AJ, lead the bass. Andy, give us a wave here. If you haven't met Andy, he is awesome. And then there's a couple of their staff here, and they've got 49 on their DTS right now, so that's cranking, and it's just amazing what God's doing with them. And then we've got an Oxford family. Where's our Oxford family? Come on, Oxford. We love our Oxford family. Val and the crew. Go, Oxford. And you guys got DTS running at the moment too, right? Backpackers and climbers? Yeah, awesome. Love Oxford. Then, of course, we've got our Matamata crew. I saw Rosh and Cheryl there, and McCoy's are here, and then there's Fergo at the back, the Andrew Fergo, the man. Love our Matamata crew, family ministry, such a phenomenal vision, community, value. Just love what God's doing with those guys. Then we've got our Te Marama family. Where's our Te Marama family? Come on, Auckland. We love our Auckland family. Come on. We love it when don't be offended by this. We love it when our old YWAM Auckland crew come down. The Stits, man. These guys just turn up. They just know when the Lord's going to come, so they turn up, and I think that helps. The Lord turn up when people like that are in the room. Tim Halton's over here. Good to see you, bro. Awesome. And of course, Mark Parker. Love Mark Parker. Who loves Mark Parker? What a stellar gentleman. And if I missed you out, I'm sorry. But I just love it that we have a multi-generational representation in the room. That's what YWAM's supposed to be. Awesome. We love our young people. I'm still kind of in that sometimes. But we love our old people because there's wisdom, there's knowledge, there's experience. There's lots of, we screwed up, don't do what we did. We need that. Right? Right, Kevin? There's lots of that. Come on. Good. And then, of course, we've got our Zion family. Where's our Zion family? Zion, come on. Love Zion, the north. Oh, awesome. And you guys are on outreach right now, eh? The team on outreach, so they're all over the place as well. And then, of course, I think that's all of us, right? Apart from Tauranga. Justice Reach. That's Tauranga. That's us here. Then, of course, we've got Tauranga, right? Where's our Justice Reach family? Patty's in the room, of course. There's the crew. Justice Reach. You guys are on outreach too right now, eh? Awesome. Then, of course, there's Island Breeze, Marine Reach, YWAM Bethlehem, and everything else, YWAM in the city. So I think everyone else, we're here, right? Good. Yes. Awesome. Oh, so cool, so cool, so cool. So a couple of things to share, and then we're going to move on. There was a few major themes that we felt for this week as we gathered as a YWAM family. We called it the Mission Conference because we really felt like it wasn't so much a gathering or a hooey in terms of what we have been doing as YWAM New Zealand. We felt like because of where we are as a family, like we're in a different season in YWAM New Zealand. This is in my perspective of the little interaction I've had in other YWAM bases. You know, you got Queenstown that are not even 2 years old in terms of running training, and God's just gone, I'm with you, Queenstown, let's do this. Boom. You know, and you got Marine Reach here that have just, God's blessed their training, phenomenal students coming, multiple schools running, but then also Vanuatu and the doors that's Lord's opened for them in Vanuatu. It's phenomenal influence God's given them. You've got Zion continuing to run amazing training. You've got Te Marama with vision being birthed and schools starting to come and staff gathering around that. It's just fun to watch Matamata with the school. You've got a big family ministry, second level school coming up, right, next year. You know, it's just amazing. The LDC's running there. So there's all this stuff bubbling up in the family. So it just feels like, from my perspective, we're in a different season. YWAM Aotearoa, we're not where we were 5 years ago. Like God's added, God's growing, there's maturity, there's amazing staff gathering around it. So we really felt there's a couple of themes that God really wanted to highlight this week. One theme we really felt strongly as a word of the Lord to YWAM New Zealand this time was the whole reality of the twin vision. You know, you've read the book, the twin vision. So ships and training. So medical ships, University of the Nations. So we really felt the Lord was highlighting the twin vision, but specifically University of the Nations, that we feel like there's a real word and season for us as a family here, that God's saying, YWAM New Zealand, you are a University of the Nations training campus. So we went, okay, we don't know what that is. I mean, as a YWAM Bethlehem, we went, we don't know what that is. What do we do? How do we do that? I don't know. Some of you guys are smarter than us. You know what to do. We don't. So we just felt like that's a theme for this week. So you'll see some of the workshops, which we'll talk about in a moment, they're built around that. How do we build college tracks, University of the Nations? What the heck is University of the Nations anyway? Hopefully by the end of this week, we'll all go, I know. We'll need a whole lot of Holy Spirit and a lot of wisdom from a lot of people, but we'll get there. Another thing we felt real strongly about was, you know, it was YWAM New Zealand. We represent this DNA of the Kiwi, this pioneering, gutty, we'll just go wherever, number 8 Y, do whatever. I know we're not all New Zealanders in the room by blood, but you're all tangata whenua family now. You're part of this DNA, this inheritance of New Zealand, which you can't talk about New Zealand without talking about pioneering. That's who we are. And I feel as YWAM New Zealand, we're in a fresh season of pioneering where God's giving grace, vision, and faith to jump into a new level of pioneering, which isn't just inside New Zealand. I feel like there's pioneering outside of our nation God wants to give us faith for and vision for and resources for and people for. And so really when there's other themes that we felt that God's going to bring out this week, but we felt those were two major ones. And that's really for us why when me and Josh had this little moment a year ago, we went, oh, we should do another conference. We had like this 4-minute conversation with each other before we ate Turkish to go, which is always a good way to celebrate the word of the Lord. It's always appropriate to eat Turkish to go. And we really felt like as the Lord gave us those themes and was speaking to us about it, then he showed us that there was to actually bring in people that can impart in those categories. And as we felt that and the Lord spoke to us, the names of, you know, this amazing couple that are with us this week from Perth, Pete and Shirley Brownhill, who are just two of the coolest people I've ever met, we just really felt like they embody that. Like they embody that as YWAM Perth just celebrated 30 years as a training missions, YWAM based there in Western Australia, who just are ridiculous. And we'll talk more about them, you know, after morning tea when before they come and speak. But we really feel that's what we're here for this week. Does that make sense? And in that there's friendship, there's relationship, you know, deepening of a relationship, new connections, all of that stuff is gonna come out. That's what happens when YWAMers gather. We fall in love with each other afresh. We get new friendships. It's amazing. Lauren always talked about that. We convene to converge as YWAM. We all, anytime YWAM's gathered, God has always spoken. So we're excited for that week, that this week. Is anyone else excited about that? That God might speak to us a word that we'll be working on for the next 20 years. I think that would be really exciting. And we'll be working on it together. I just think that's really cool. Then the diversity and decentralization that we are as YWAM New Zealand, and we represent that better than I think any other YWAM as a national group. I think we represent that better than anywhere. We just all do our own thing. We love it. We love our independence. And I feel like in that maturity of independence, God now wants to bring a bit of unity and agreement. Does that make sense? So, I'm excited for that. That was a good word. I like that. If I could reach my back, I'd pat myself. Got it. Anyway, so it's going to be fun. Megan, don't roll your eyes at me. That's so rude. You so did. So, does that make sense, guys? So I'm excited for that. So hopefully you feel that, and as you gather this week and we do all these things, that God's going to speak around that, and we're going to take time to wait on the Lord and all that. It's going to be awesome. One of the cool things about this week as we planned it was just all of a sudden, God started drawing people to come here around the same time. And about a year ago, we emailed Pete and Sheil, guys, we have this idea, would you come and speak? You know, everyone told us, Pete and Sheil never travel together anymore. They're always, one's here, one's there, da-da-da-da-da. So they, within, you know, 6 hours of emailing them, they came back and said, that's the Lord, we've got to figure out the details, but call that a yes, we'll get back to you. So it took us, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 months to land on the week. And so that was really cool. But then as we started talking, all of a sudden other people started going, oh, I'm actually going to be back in Tauranga this week. You know, do you have a DTS I can speak on? Or can I come hang out? And We're like, oh man, we'd love to have, for a gathering like this, we'd love to have a guy like Barry Austin. And some of you DTS students would know who that is. He led the first DTS in YWAM, I think in 1975. And he's been in YWAM, I think he's second or third YWAMer out of New Zealand. Like one of the just old pioneers within YWAM. Now he's all over the place doing leadership training. We email him, Matt Dawson emails him just out of the blue. Yeah, Barry, could you be here? He wrote, oh, actually, man, I fly in the day before that starts and I'm going to be in Tauranga that week. That works really well. We went, is that really you, God? You know, and then there's other ones like that. Like today we have Brett Curtis in the room, another one of our Kiwi YWAMers that have been in the nations. You know, he's like, oh, actually, yeah, boys, I might be around that week. I actually could, actually, I'm going to be in town that week. So we've got Brett here this morning, him and his dear wife, Karen, are from this area, from Te Puke, though, you know, been in YWAM 30-some years now, right? Like just got swooped into the ship's ministry and never came back. And so I just think that's really cool. And then I think tomorrow we've got Mark Littlewood here, who's this Kiwi pioneer into China, been in China with YWAM nearly 20 years. Emails us about 3 weeks ago, hey boys, I'm back in town, want to come hang out with you guys? And it's like, yeah, you will hang out with us at the missions conference that's on that week. So I just love that. And there's others like that that just felt, hey, I should be there this week. And so we're just excited for what all of that means. Yeah. I think that's fun. I love it when the family gathers and the family gathers in a multi-generational way. I think that really honors the Lord. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. One other cool thing this week is we have the Tauranga House of Prayer in the room. T-Hop, where are you? Where's our T-Hop whānau? So some of you, who was at the YWAM conference in Kansas City in September? I know Ross and Shira were there, Yet Stitz were there. There were several of us that were in this room there. I think for me, one of the major things that came out of that gathering, there was awesome stuff about the spheres and YWAM in the spheres, and it was just, there was powerful stuff around that. Dan, you were there, I remember hanging out with you. But one of the real cool things was the Thursday night part of the conference when Mike Bickle, the founder of IHOP in Kansas City, got given the platform to speak and basically spent 2-3 hours loving on YWAM. And him and Misty Edwards, who's one of the main worship leaders there, they just had this phenomenal time of just praying and worshiping over YWAM. And, you know, one of the words he kept saying was, YWAM, God loves you, YWAM. If you've never heard Mike Bickle, he's just a wild man. But there was just this eruption in the room of this convergence of prayer missions, this deep partnership of YWAM, we are with you. And the cool thing in this community, we have this amazing family, this amazing movement called T-Hop, Tauranga House of Prayer, that was birthed out of IHOP. And so I feel like they represent for us a lot of what came out of the conference in Kansas City, of this deep friendship, this deep marriage, I guess. I don't know if anyone's really shaped the words correctly yet around that, but this deep affinity of prayer and missions. I think Alan Hood, one of the main leaders at IHOP, said it this way. He said, YWAM, you are the hands to the calling God's given us. He's like, you represent our calling. We will not fulfill our calling unless you go, YWAM. Then he said, YWAM, don't mess it up for us. You know, like, we'll pray for you, YWAM. Don't mess it up, YWAM. You're the hands to what God's spoken to us. So it was just this phenomenal, deep friendship, deep partnership. Alan Hood said this after that week, because they had prayer sets every twice a day where YWAMers would lead it. John Dawson, our komatu, was facilitating a lot of those. And Alan said, John, YWAMers, because of you being in the prayer room this week, he said, I will never pray the same. He said, I will now pray differently for the nations. See, because not only did you lead us in praying for the nations under your anointing as a movement that's been to all the nations, he said, you brought the nations to the prayer room and they prayed on the mic in the prayer room. I will never pray the same. So it was this beautiful partnership, synergy, just friendship. We really like each other. That kind of came out of this time. So one of the cool things for this week is T-Hop, who are based here, actually they're where they currently rent space at a church right around the corner, they've committed, they cancelled their prayer room this week to be in the room with us. So every morning, I believe at 7 a.m, you guys are leading a prayer worship set in this room or that room? In this room over here. So get here earlier tomorrow. They're going to be in there just leading worship, I think from 7 to 8, 8:30-ish over there. And then at lunchtime, I believe, you guys will be back there or in here? In here. So linger after the session at lunchtime, stay in here. T-Hop will just be ministering to the Lord and just facilitating us in times like that, which is really, really cool. I think that's a real gift. But the other cool thing they've offered for this week is they've offered to they've set up what they call prophecy rooms. So between 4 p.m. and 5 p.m., for those of you that can stick around after the afternoon workshops, there's going to be prophecy rooms, probably in this room. Is it every day? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, prophecy rooms in this room. And literally what that means is they'll just sit with you, know nothing about you, and just ask the Lord, what does he want to share with you? And it's just quite profound how God speaks, how encouraging it is, how affirming that is. So I think that's a real gift to us as a family this week, and I would encourage you, don't miss out on that. You know, there's a certain fee for that. You have to, no, I'm joking. It's free. You don't have to pay, guys. Why, Wamers? We love free stuff. But if you want to participate in the prophecy rooms, either today, tomorrow, or the next day, you've got to go sign up for that. You've got to actually pick a slot, sign up for it, put your name on it, so then you turn up at that time. To do that, you've got to, morning tea this morning, you've got to go out to the info desk out here and sign up for that. Does that make sense? So don't miss out on the prophecy rooms. So it's a phenomenal time of just being encouraged by the Lord. But participate, you have to sign up. You can go every day, just so you know. No one's going to stop you. But you've got to sign up. So you can sign up for every day. But you have to. You guys are smart. Awesome. Does that make sense? So I think it's really cool that this week we have a small, like a little budding deal that came out of Kansas City. We have YWAM in the room. We have the prayer movement in the room representing together, flowing together. I think that's pretty cool. That's awesome. Okay, so I just want to make a big deal of that. There's a bunch of other announcements. I'll do them at the end of the session. So morning tea, we're going to have morning tea at 10:30. Who's excited for morning tea? Hallelujah. Good. Hey, so like I said, one of the big themes for this week is University of the Nations, this twin vision, this whole reality in YWAM that God spoke. YWAM will have training. YWAM will have ships. And one thing that's is increasingly evident in YWAM is the blessing of God on the twin vision. I don't know if some of you were like me when I came into YWAM 12 years ago. I see training. Where are the ships? And no one would explain to me where they went. Actually, till I met Brett. Brett, tell me what happened to the ships. He's like, it's a long story, cuz. I mean, good, I want to know it. I like long stories. But the amazing thing is, in the last really 6 years, there's been this again explosion of that vision within YWAM. But here's something probably some of you in the room may not know. This explosion of ship ministry came out of New Zealand. The catalyst that God used to reinvigorate or revive that vision in YWAM globally actually came out of Tauranga. It came out of Marine Ridge. A phenomenal family here led by the Cowies, who are just two of the great pioneers in our mission. I love Linda. She's sweet. Dave Cowie. Oh, you got to love that man. He's like this unbroken stallion. He's just, I love that man. Don't get in his way, but I love that man. Like any good stallion, you give it space. But he's just a big teddy bear at heart. But then Linda, she's the perfect compliment. As they say, butter would not melt in her mouth. She's just so sweet. She's just so gentle and kind. I love you, Linda. So we're praying about today. We really felt the Lord wanted to highlight that for us today. Just so we don't feel it's an accident that Linda's in the room. I think this is the only day Linda is in the room because her and Dave head off some point this week on a trip to America and South America and North America, visiting family and then doing stuff for the Marine Reacher ship and all that stuff that they have to do. And then we're like, and Brett's in the room this morning, Brett Curtis, representing what he's carrying out of YWAM ship's Kona. And so we felt like there's a moment today where we want to kind of sit down and have a bit of a story time. So if you guys could come up, we're going to come on the stage somewhere. Someone's got chairs. We're going to come sit on the stage. And for the next 20, 30 minutes, God help me, have you guys ever tried to keep old YWAMers short? Us young guys are hard enough to keep short. These fellas. So what we're going to do is we're really just going to sit and tell stories. Because I feel like as YWAM New Zealand, we've got to know what we've been a part of. Does that make sense? And it just struck me today. There's this eruption of ships that between one of these two we'll hear a bit about. Marine Reach just had their ship, Pacific Hope, come back from Vanuatu, where they had this phenomenal season of ministry up into the islands where God just blessed it. And it's just phenomenal. Then we have the ships in Kona and Townsville that are just pouring into Papua New Guinea. And so it's just phenomenal what God's doing. So we're going to, as the Lord anoints me and helps me. We're just going to spend a bit of time talking about that. Does that make sense? So, let's jump in. Hi, guys. So, everyone, this is Brett Curtis from Te Puke. His darling wife's not with him today, so he looks a bit lonely. One fun fact you need to know about Brett is we're actually related. And that's okay. Thank you, Chad, for your concern, but it's actually okay. So this is Brett Curtis, amazing dude, lives in Kona now, but been in Wyoming a long time. And then this is the darling, most loving person you could ever meet, called Linda Cowie. So here's what we're going to do.
Hello.
Ooh, good. Linda, I'm going to pass that to you first. Thank you. So really, Linda, would you just share a little bit, quickly share a bit of the story of Wyoming in terms of ships? Because I know you and Dave have been around it pretty much since the start of that, and it's been your major journey out in Wyoming, other than
you're pioneering Wyoming, Thailand, and other things you guys did.
They did a lot of stuff, by the way. You want to share a bit of that for us?
Is that why we're so old? We're older. Yeah, okay. First of all, thank you, YWAM Bethlehem, for hosting this and gathering us together again. You guys are amazing. So we really do thank you. How many of you have read Lauren Cunningham's book, Is That Really You, God? Everybody. Okay. So you would have read about the very first ship that the Lord was giving us, and that was birthed out of New Zealand. New Zealand is such a prophetic nation. And then you would have read that the Māori is the name of the ship, that vision died. And the whole essence of the lesson there was that we had, as youth with a mission, we had put our eyes on this ship. We were so excited about it. And we had taken our eyes off Jesus. And Lauren, being the tremendous man of God that he was, he laid down that vision. He said, Lord, if we keep our eyes on this ship and take it off you, we've hurt your heart. And if need be, take it away from us. And that ship was taken away. Out of that came the message that Lauren gives on the death of a vision. And Lauren and Darlene went up and down the nation of New Zealand apologizing, because this was big national news, wasn't it? Oh, everybody knew about this ship that these religious people were going to buy, and then, of course, it failed. But anyway, they had such humility to do that, and I think something happened there that actually God saw the humility. And then the Lord released to us a ship called the Anastasis, or Anastasis, should be Anastasis, meaning resurrection. So from death to resurrection, it was so fantastic. And that happened out of Greece. And so David and I, we were asked by Lauren to go and help pioneer that ship. And that was an exciting 4 years of being involved in that ship and seeing amazing miracles. And God just, were you on board when the fish came out of the sea? Just after.
Barry Austin was.
Yeah, Barry. Where are you, Barry? Are you here? Right now. So we saw 8,311 fish come out of the ocean. and we cleaned them. We counted them. It was just an amazing miracle. So I think that's also in the book, Is That Really You, God? So the ship kept operating. And then this was when Mercy Ships was part of Youth with a Mission. And then as we move ahead, there was...
Wasn't New Zealand one of the first locations it came to? Didn't it do a tour of New Zealand at some point?
Yeah,
it was the first time? Was that when you guys got connected to it? You want to tell us quickly about that, how you and Karen got swooped onto it?
My wife and I grew up in Te Puke. She's a nurse. I was in the kiwifruit business, and we walked up the gangway and took a tour and got hooked. Yeah, you were on board then. Yeah. And we just found that we were going to commit for 3 months. Do a DTS. So DTS is watch what you do. You think you're only here for a few months, it might be 33 years like me and Kim. Five kids later.
Just receive that, some of you.
A few extra pounds later.
That's awesome. Right, carry on, Linda. What?
Oh, we got... I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, we added several ships to the fleet over time. My wife and I worked for Mercy Ships for 20 years. We're leading the Caribbean Mercy and the Good Samaritan. And it was just a wonderful time as God began to open up nations because of the Mercy Ministries. One of the things that was highlight to us through the fish miracle in those early days where we swung around the anchor for 3 years in Greece was that you're to have evangelism, mercy, and training always wound together. And where you have those three things together, there is a sweet spot. There is an anointing on YWAM, and we must never forget that. And so the mercy opens up the heart at great pace, at huge speed. You can see somebody that is far from the Lord, and all of a sudden they're getting helped where they really are hurting. And that act of mercy opens up the gospel incredibly. So
that's awesome. I'm going to fast forward us. So Mercy Ships grew, became this big ministry within YWAM that at some point transitioned into their own entity and have continued to grow and function. Tell us about the Marine Reach story when you guys came to New Zealand. It was to purchase a ship, right? Like four ships ago, wasn't it, for you guys?
It was about four ships ago. It was 1990, and we came because there was a ship sitting in the harbor here that was available to us. And but the owners changed their minds. So they were going to give it to us, but they changed their minds. So, but God was sovereign. So it went from $1 million to $500,000 to $250,000 to... Here it is. So it's a fantastic story. But that was the Pacific Ruby. And the Ruby crisscrossed the Pacific for years. And then
Is that the one that took Lauren to his last, to Pitcairn Island, to the last nation?
Yes, the Pacific Ruby took Lauren and the whole Cunningham family, actually, to Pitcairn Island, which is on the way to South America. Yeah. And population 53. But anyway,
well worth the journey.
Oh, absolutely. And after the Pacific Ruby, then the Good Samaritan transferred into the Pacific and became the Island Mercy. And so we crisscrossed again the Pacific and up into the Philippines. We were in the Philippines for 18 months. Thousands of people were touched by that. And then we had the Pacific Link. And this little ship that was in the harbor... right at that transition time when Mercy Ships transitioned. And so Marine Reach had the Pacific Link for 3-4 years. And we're just jumping ahead here.
Yeah, yeah, good.
And then we felt led of the Lord.
So when Mercy Ships moved out, you guys stayed.
Oh, yes. Yeah, in Youth with
really
a Mission.
Clear. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Make sure that you understand.
So the way I understand it, so late 2000s, you guys were praying about upgrading the ship, correct?
We were praying about, okay, Lord, now what? And multiplication, all that. But the Pacific Link was sitting where our Pacific Hope is right now, waiting for us to be claimed. And I don't know if you know Andrew and Liz Warren, of pastors of another church. They would cross the bridge and they would look down on that little ship and say, Marine Reach needs that ship. And boy, they were prophetic.
Wow.
Yeah. So we got that little ship and I think we had her for about 3-4 years.
Awesome. Mm. So then tell us about that transition. How, because you, with the Pacific, you were looking to sell it and buy a new ship. Wasn't that the story? Like, talk to us through the handoff of that to Aussie and that whole. This incredible story that's really catalyzed and rebirthed, revived this vision within the mission.
Well, I think the Lord really tested us during a lot of transition that was going on, tested us to really stand up for the values of Youth with a Mission, and we really felt strongly to do that. And in that process, as we were, after about 4 years of having the Pacific Link, the Lord, I'll speak from a personal place. I felt the Lord saying that we really needed to respond in the opposite spirit of what we had encountered through a transition, and that instead of trying to keep stuff to ourselves, that we were to be free in our generosity and free to give. So there was actually a board member who, as the board was meeting, he had been praying, and he felt from the Lord that that perhaps we were to give the Pacific Link away. And so they prayed about it, and we had already had contact with Ken and Robin Mulligan in previous years. They'd been involved with our ship as well. And we knew that they could just really take it. But so we asked Australia, you might know more details, Brett, but we asked Australia if they would like the Pacific Link, which was interesting because we were Marine Reach and yet we would be without a ship. So that was a very interesting 3 or 4 years that we went through, sort of an identity crisis. Although during that time, the Lord multiplied land teams into outreach, and we call them mission reach teams, and a lot of networking going on in New Zealand as teams would go out, but we didn't have a ship for a little while. But I'll hand it over to Brett because he can continue this story.
So the cool thing, the way I understand it, is that was it 2009, 2010 when it was handed off? Was that when it was?
2010.
It was, eh? So they had this, was it the YWAM Aussie National Gathering? Pete and Shiel probably were in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And Marine Rich come over, hand the ship over, and kind of a formal prophetic gathering. This guy's in OC, Orange County at the time, eh?
San Diego.
San Diego, you're in San Diego. Helping lead the base in San Diego, Baja, doing amazing stuff there. And you felt the Lord say, you need to be at this gathering.
Well, that's a part of the story I'm eager to tell.
Yeah.
There's an old Maori proverb that says you walk into the future backwards. So you're mindful of the history lessons you've learned, and some of them in blood, sweat, and tears. That's why we always want to tap on the shoulder of those who have gone before us and ask, what lessons did you learn? And Karen and I were kind of hijacked by the Lord, and we were quite happy working. After we left Mercy Ships for 20 years, we were with San Diego Baja down into the peninsula of Mexico working in Homes of Hope and doing things there. We loved it. And we had never had a conversation between us as a husband and wife that would say, oh, I wonder if we'll ever get back in the ship ministries again. Or, I wonder if we'll go back to Mercy Ships again after 7 years. But little did we know that there was a bigger story unfolding for us as a couple, and we were going to be drawn and stitched back into that fabric of that ship story again. Had no clue. And so we heard about this act, this radical act of generosity by the guys here in Tauranga to the guys in Australia, and we were invited to come down and watch what was going on. So we had just finished the 50th event with Lauren and Darlene. We'd run hard. We were tired. We were ready for a break. And so we're sitting on the plane in San Diego about to take off for Townsville, Australia. And I said to Karen, oh, babe, this is going to be good. We're not having to speak. We're not having to arrange a conference. We're not having to do any heavy lifting. This will be like we'll be cheerleaders and spectators, and we'll sit in the back. And there was a room about this size in Townsville. And second day into the conference, you guys were all up on stage, and all the Aussies were on stage, and Steve Ahern was speaking and emceeing. And it got to the point, like it is in a Kiwi wedding, where you go to, you know, sign the registry, and everyone's kind of visiting for a little bit during that, and the keys are being prepared to pass over. And it was just this amazing, radical act that I thought one day is going to be in a book. And we're sitting in the back. This is awesome. And Steve Ahern stands up, and he walks off the stage, and he walks down the back, and kind of goes past the bathrooms, and we go, oh, where's he going? He's lost. And he comes around the back, and I'm sitting about where Pete and Cheryl are, and he comes up behind us, and he puts his hand on our shoulders, and he said, I just got this prayer that's just burst inside of me. I want to pray for you. And he says, get this, he says, you're not to be cheerleaders, and you're not to be spectators. You're to engage this vision. And we went, what? We're sitting on a plane in a private conversation, and no, he read our mail. It was a word of knowledge. And so we're sitting there, my wife, because we were engaged with the whole transition thing, that sometimes gets, you know, divorces get a little bit ugly sometimes. You feel like kids that you don't know where to go and what to do. And it was pain. And Karen said, oh, it's like pain meant hope. Grief meant hope. Hope is on the way. And that was the feeling in our gut down here. And then so we're sitting in the back. Steve walks off clueless to what he just did. And then Tom Haller stands up with his big booming voice. And Brett and Karen, are you here? You're to come up here. I think God's just speaking. You're not to be cheerleaders. Now, you get three of those in a row, and you go, all of a sudden, God is up to something. And when he does it publicly, that confirms a private thing. You see the order? All of a sudden, you know God is saying something. So we get up on stage, and he said, oh, I think you should, you know, the next morning, he said, you should speak to the whole team. And I'm going, so, okay, what am I going to speak on? And he said, just tell them what's on your heart. And all we knew to do, Linda, was say, we're saying, God is saying something. We don't know what it is, but we're going to say yes before we know the details. Because when you have everything and all your ducks in a row and all your money in a row and all your people recruited, that's a business plan. And if you try and do a five-year plan like that, you could very well plan God right out of it. And so we stood up and we said, we don't know how this is going to get paid for. We don't know who's going to come. We don't even know where we're going to go. We don't know what kind of ship it is. We just know that God said something and it was confirmed radically. So we say, Holy Spirit, tell Father, yes. Oh, man. All of a sudden, the place went nuts. People stood up. I don't know if you remember Pete and Cheryl, but the place went crazy. Ken and Robin get up to the microphone. They said, oh, wait a minute here. Let's roll a big sheet of newspaper. So they rolled out this newsprint paper and threw crowns and markers on the floor and said, let's go to prayer and let's see what God's saying about this. And so they wrote down verses and scriptures and pictures and in different colored handwritings and different things. You could see different things being confirmed. And we rolled that up. And we said, oh, let's take photos of that so we can digitize it. And, you know, then we can throw the paper away. And Karen says, no. That's going to be wallpaper on a ship one day. And as we read that, there were some instructions in that for us. And that began for us, at least for us as a couple, something that I wanted to bring to you guys as a word for this conference, at least to start with. That there's bigger pictures at play over periods of decades and could be centuries that you are to engage in, but you don't know it at the time. You see, there's a history in New Zealand to Melanesia that I didn't hear about growing up in school. And so before I got on a plane, I called Dawson and I said, John, what were those names again? He said, listen, there's huge plans of God for people groups to people groups, individuals to people groups. There's just ways that he weaves individuals and nations. So as Kiwis or those who are part of our land, there is a history towards Melanesia that I think you should know about. And I grew up here as a Kiwi kid on the Te Puke farm, and I didn't hear about this. But, and I'm going to, I know because we're almost out of time, can I throw you a couple of things to chew on over break?
Well, hold off. Let's, before you do that... Ooh. Me and Linda are going to get off the stage because we don't need to be on here for this.
No.
So we're gonna release you to do that because I know you've got it. But before you do...
Yes.
I hate to break your flow. But I just want to make sure you guys catching how cool this is. And we could have sat here for 3 hours with these guys, bouncing stories between them. You know, I just love that. Anyway. But I just want us to catch this, you know. Marine Reach, God spoke, radical generosity... And I know a little bit of what their journey through Linda in a gracious way says some things. But just read a million things behind that. Wasn't easy transition, but be radical in your generosity. They do. And I'm sure at some point Brett will share, if he doesn't, Linda will get it back up her and share. What's happened since 2010 is that ship was given to Aussie, was given to Townsville, Ken and Robin Mulligan to steward. And that basically blew up and became this open door into Papua New Guinea that now has given YWAM absolute favor across the nation of Papua New Guinea at quite a ridiculous level. And now YWAM is, we're up to 25 ships?
24.
24 ships. We went from one ship given to now 24 ocean-going vessels, with I think that's growing every year. So there's this phenomenal thing that happened. White Marine Rich gives that away, and they're shipless for 4 years. Then God gives them the amazing boat they've got now, the Pacific Hope.
Amazing.
That's just came back in the harbour from Vanuatu.
Wow.
It's phenomenal how God's doing this. And I caught this last year in the gathering, YWAM gathering in Townsville. They had this kind of handoff ceremony on a stage. Because Townsville had this amazing boat they purchased in the last couple of years. It's an astounding boat that God gave them. So they had this handoff ceremony because what happened was they were kind of commissioning that new boat Townsville got and acknowledging the handoff of the Pacific Link from Townsville to YWAM ships Kona. And on stage is Shanine Totorewa representing YWAM New Zealand, John Dawson representing YWAM Global, and Brett and Karen Curtis from Te Puke, and then Ken and Robin Mulligan from Australia. So there's a ceremony honouring the ship going from here to here, which was also honouring the ship that came from Tauranga to Australia. And I'm sitting watching this going, look at Tauranga. Look at us. Look at YWAM New Zealand. We're there. We're all over the story. And it was just amazing watching that, the faithfulness of one group that went, no, we will operate in radical generosity. Who does that? Who gives a ship away? This guy's going for a vacation to sit in the back and go, this is great, guys, go. You're not a cheerleader.
Wow. Not just.
So I just want us to catch that, because what's happened the last 6 years has been absolutely historic in our mission. And sometimes as Kiwis, when New Zealanders, we get stuck down the ends of the earth and we miss all of that. Mm-hmm. We don't always carry our global perspective because we get a little bit isolated down here. But there's something God's doing in the nations right now through YWAM that was catalyzed out of YWAM New Zealand, specifically out of YWAM Marine Reach, that shifted the whole story of the mission. I think that's pretty cool. Yeah. I think that's a story we need to know about. So, Linda, could you pray for this guy? Because I think it'd be cool, just because of who you are and the spirit. And then he's got like 15 minutes to kind of drop what he's got in him. So, you know, I'm going to get off stage. Thank you, Jesus.
Let me just say quickly that if you want a tour, we want to make that available. So I don't know if Mike Stevenson is here or he will be coming. But just let us know and we'll arrange a tour for anybody who hasn't seen the ship. Awesome. Lord, we love what you do and how you do it. And Lord, we're so aware that unless you build the house, we labor in vain. That it's only by your spirit, it's not by our might or power, but it's by your spirit. So we keep our eyes on you, Jesus, and all the amazing things you want to do. And thank you, Lord, for Brett and Karen and how you're leading them into PNG with the Pacific Link and how you're using the Pacific Hope and to disciple a nation of Vanuatu and what you're doing in Melanesia. Lord, we just pray that we'd have ears to hear what Brett is sharing now by your spirit. And may we claim this whole area of the Pacific, Father, for you and for years to come and for centuries to come. May it be the great Southland of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, awesome.
All right, guys. I'm going to try and drop this as quick as I can. Can you run the first video for me? I'm going to start what you may have seen just a few weeks ago, and I'll do a quick video in PowerPoint, and then I'll back up from there. Go.
My name is Victor. I come from Papua New Guinea. I love my country. It is so beautiful and so diverse. We are known as the land of the unexpected, the least explored country on earth. We are made up of many different tribes, each with their own traditions. Me and my people live in villages. We live in high mountains, jungles, rivers, and the coast. Though we have much beauty, we are facing very big healthcare challenges. Many of our women die in childbirth. We are one of the highest rates in the world. TB has been declared as a national emergency. Our children are dying of preventable and treatable diseases. Many of us will never see a dentist in our lifetime. Hundreds of thousands of people have low vision or no vision at all.
Makasi had been blind for 10 years. Her and her family heard about the ship being in their area and paddled in their canoe for 2 weeks to see if there was anything that we could do for her eyesight. After a 45-minute operation, her sight was restored to perfect vision. She saw her 3 children for the very first time that day. She went from someone that was downcast, that had no hope in her face, to someone that had light in her eyes, someone that had hope and excitement for her future.
It's so amazing what happens when the ship first comes into a village. All the men, the women, the children, they all gather along the shores and they start singing, start dancing. The ship is more than bringing healthcare. It's really bringing life and really giving them hope for the future.
The training element of the medical ship is very, very important. What that does, especially our health workers working in remote settings and those difficult settings, it empowers them, it strengthens them. It gives them that someone does care.
My dream, I want to be a nurse. I want to help my people in this district and country.
One of the things I love most about the work of the ship is seeing young Papua New Guineans engaged. Seeing young, passionate Papua New Guineans from urban centres able to come out into the rural context of building their nation.
When I think of the message I want to live, it's like me liking life. I want life, and for you and for me is to have life and live it to the fullest.
We look despair in the eye and we say, you do not have the final word. We're people who have our fingerprints on a torch of hope. That's Papua New Guinean fingerprints, Australian fingerprints, fingerprints from all around the world that press forward because we want to live.
So arise, all the sons of this land. Let us sing of our joys to be free. Papua New Guinea.
Isn't that cool? Back in 1790, when New Zealand was being, when they were coming from England and Europe and they were settling New Zealand, there was a man called John Williams. If you remember the history? I'm going to go like super quick through this, but John Williams and then Bishop Selwyn, he was appointed by Queen Victoria to be kind of the bishop of the South Pacific in the missions endeavor, because as they came to New Zealand, they saw the beauty, they saw the richness of this land, and they said, to whom much is given, much is required. And we must go up into the Samoa and Tonga and Cook Islands, etc. And so they started going up into the Pacific Islands, it broke out up there, so much so with the Holy Spirit, that there was people that they were willing to go to places they'd never been before as missionaries. They came down to Mission Bay because there was some land that they had begun to build a mission training base there. And they had Pacific Islanders that came down. And then just prior to that, Queen Victoria was going to make him the bishop of Polynesia. And when they were in Westminster Abbey and she was decreeing this in front of everybody, they made a mistake with the longitude and the latitude about him being the bishop of this, and they actually included Melanesia by mistake. Well, you can't back up the truck after you had a queen, you know, say that you're the bishop of this place and can't redo that. And so they took that as providence, and then they began to take all of these missionaries that were coming out of the move of God from this area in Polynesia and being trained in Mission Bay, and they pushed up into Melanesia, Vanuatu, Solomon Islands, PNG. That was that was still a very dark corner of the Pacific when it came to the gospel. I'm just jumping way, way, way ahead here. Today, 2013, rather, just a few years ago, the Speaker of the House in Papua New Guinea declared that their parliament would be a Christian parliament. Their nation would be a Christian nation. They got their independence from Aussie in 75, and unfortunately, a lot of the mission agencies, including the church that I come from here in New Zealand, we all pulled out of PNG thinking that our work was done, but it wasn't, and it was a we need to go back big time, because they are like the West Africa of the Pacific, 7 or 8 million people. And even their own health minister said, our health system's in cardiac arrest. We need help. Would you please come? And if you remember those three things, evangelism, mercy ministries, and training that we talked about, when you come in with those three things, there is such an anointing to open doors, because they are desperate in one of those categories. And they have asked Ken Mulligan, and Ken and Robin took the Pacific Link that was gifted from here to there, and they went up, and for the last 5 or 6 years have opened up some incredible doors. They then got a new ship paid for primarily by the PNG government. They pay the fuel, they pay the medications, they give them free docking and all these things. They are so desperate for missionaries to come up in that category, and they say, we are a Christian nation, would you please be culturally sensitive? Whoa, that's pretty big. If you've been in a lot of other parts of the world, you kind of got to really make sure you're careful. And so we have had open doors like crazy. Now, in 2013, when the Speaker of the House declared this, he cut down two big totem poles inside of the parliament, and he replaced them with two massive poles with 850 names of each one of their languages. That's the most diverse country in the world. 12% of the entire Earth's languages are found in one nation, Papua New Guinea. 850 languages. Why? Because they're so separated through huge mountains and deep things, they never really went across the mountain to interact. Therefore, after 20, 30 years of that, they developed their own dialect. And so there's so many languages in Papua New Guinea. That's why it's the country with the most Bible-less languages translated there. So they're playing catch up. So the Speaker of the House chops these two totem poles down, puts two great big ones up with all the names of these languages, and sitting on top of a Bible with the Ten Commandments. Isn't that cool? I want you to roll the very last video, because I'm going to jump. I'm not going to do the PowerPoint one. Could you roll that? And look at what he said to the world.
My name is Victor. I come from Papua New Guinea.
I love my country. I want you to read these words coming up by the speaker. It sent shockwaves around the world through the UN. 2013. Amazing. You can stop it there if you like. So if you were to think about the nations on earth where the gospel right now is gaining tremendous traction, I'm a personal testimony, because on board the little ship, the Pacific Link, in the last 9 months, we've delivered over 60,000 healthcare services, but 3,500 have come to Christ on a one-on-one conversation. It is raining there like crazy. Now, if you had, like, you go to the Waikato and there's massive, great, big fields of maize and corn growing. If it was ripe under harvest and you had all your harvesters somewhere in Otago, what would you want to do? You want to bring the harvesters to the harvest, right? The harvest, the combine harvesters. And so what we're saying to you guys is, as Kiwis, as people in Aotearoa, you have a responsibility to say, Lord, am I a part of, are you wanting to stitch me into this story that goes back to 1790? To whom much is given, much is required. Do we as a people group, do we as a nation, do you as an individual, is perhaps God asking you to do something in PNG? I got shanghaied out of San Diego. Steve-O, David Stevenson from Newcastle, he just got shanghaied about 3 months ago with a ship that God just dropped on his lap, and he's currently got his vessel halfway from Germany to Papua New Guinea, and he's heading there. Ken and Robin have been there for a while. I think, you guys, it's time for New Zealand to rise up and take out part of our heritage that has been a story that has been layered with many generations. God is doing something in Papua New Guinea that is absolutely extraordinary, and the doors are open. Now, guess what the Prime Minister said just a year ago? Would you, Youth with a Mission, please bring your University of the Nations to our nation? We want your university. We want your type of education. And the very first place we felt to put a beachhead is a little place called Alatau in Milne Bay. In January, the first week of next year, we're going to start. And we're going to have every week, we're going to have a seminar of some kind of seminar, whether it be teachers training or healthcare or navigation or farming or hydroponics or you name the list, businesses, missions. I don't care what kind of skill level you have attained. If you can teach a week seminar, we want you to come to Alatau. So far, we've got all the weeks through the end of September confirmed. We're going to do week after week after week after week after week, and they're going to be day students. And then halfway through the year, we're going to flip that excitement into a live, learn, and do a DTS. And we're going to start to see the University of the Nations planted in a nation that is desperate for Christian education. And we're going to follow the lead of the Prime Minister who said, please come. We're going to follow the lead of the Speaker of the House who says, we are a Christian nation. Please be culturally appropriate and come. Isn't this great? This is something. In my 33 years, I have not seen this level of openness and people coming to Christ as I'm watching right now in Papua New Guinea. So that's my drop on you today, and bless you guys. You want me to pray for you? Oh, Lord, Holy Spirit, you have put so much effort and energy into the years that have gone ahead of us for Papua New Guinea, for such a time as this. It is ripe under harvest right now in that location, like I have never seen. And so, Lord Jesus, would you place on people in this room hearing this message right now, would you just begin to drop peace? Would you begin to drop something in their spirit, a little nudge in their spirit? Holy Spirit, you do that so well. Would you begin now to call groups? Would you begin now to call school leaders to take schools? Would you begin now to put, would I even say, Lord, you shouldn't be spectators and you shouldn't just be cheerleaders to this thing. You should engage in this vision, and it's part of who we are in New Zealand for such a time as this. Lord, do your thing. Do your thing, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks, Britt.